Lord. Thank you for that enthusiastic singing. Well, greetings this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. I trust you had a good night last night, got a little sleep, and a good morning this morning. I feel a bit overwhelmed with my subject as I am walking down the road day by day in preparation. I want to tell the truth. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to tell you what you think you ought to hear or what everybody thinks we ought to hear. I want to tell the truth. I have to stand before the Lord someday. And He will hold this book up before me for what I've said. I want to say the right thing. So, let's have a prayer and then we'll go on. Let's just bow for prayer. Our God and our Father, You know our hearts as we're here before You this morning. Every one of us, Lord, we joy in the opportunity to sing, to be together with all these men. Lord, we do count it a privilege that in our day we can be with a whole bunch of men who love You, who want to do nothing else but be here and seek Your face and sit under the ministry of the Word and worship You and sing and confess and repent and all those things, Lord, holy exercises. I thank You, Father, that I can be here. Oh, Lord, we pray that You would send a comforter down in our midst this morning, God. This doesn't make any sense at all if we just sit around here talking about somebody who is not here. Fill us with the Holy Ghost this morning, God, please, Father. And minister to us. Bear witness to the truth of Your Word in our hearts, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, finishing up from yesterday, we saw yesterday that the terms used in the Scriptures concerning the Holy Ghost are synonymous. That means that God uses several different terms speaking of the same thing. It seems to me that God's people have taken those terms one by one, develop them into different doctrines and points to stand on to try to prove their particular theological understanding of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. But as we go down through the Scriptures and just look at them in simplicity, like our brother Ken shared with us last night, just the simple man, take the Bible and open it up and see what it says. You know, if we take it that way, it seems these terms are synonymous. So in light of that, I want to give just a little simple definition here this morning of what I believe God means. If we would take all those verses together and put them together, what I believe God means when He speaks about being endued with power from on high, the Holy Ghost coming upon you, being baptized in the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost, all these terms, what God simply means by that is being overwhelmed with the presence of the living God. Being overwhelmed with the presence of the living God. And so, if I can use the term that Paul used when he met the disciples at Ephesus, you know, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He wasn't asking them a theological question there at Ephesus. He wasn't checking out their theology to see if they understood the doctrine of the Spirit of God, when He comes, how He comes, and all that. He just simply asked them a very frank question. Have you been overwhelmed with the presence of the Holy Ghost since you believed? And so, I just want to give you that question this morning. We're all sitting here this morning. We're in different places in our Christian lives. We're in different places before the Lord. I just give you that question today. Have you been overwhelmed with the presence of the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now I want to give you another question. How long has it been since you were overwhelmed with the presence of the Holy Ghost? These are good questions for us to come to grips with as we are here today. I know there are many confusing things happening in America. I know that. And they cause people to be afraid and to react and all of those things. But dear brethren, I'm afraid we're going to be shocked when we stand before God if we go through our life and never know what it is to be overwhelmed with the presence of a living God. I believe we're going to be shocked when we stand before God and find out all that was available, all that was bought and paid for. I don't want to stand there and say, Lord, I was afraid. You know what the charismatics did, and you know what the barkers did, the ones that bark like dogs, and Lord, you know what the laughing revival did, you know, and I don't want to stand there and throw all those things in God's face when in reality God will turn back to me and say, is it not revealed in my word what I meant? And I know we're concerned about having an emotional experience, and I'm not here talking about an emotional experience. I'm not wanting everybody to get all worked up in a tizzy and in their emotions and have tingles running down their back. I'm not here to do that. But listen, brethren, some of us are so afraid of having an emotional experience, we haven't had any experience. Come on! We haven't had any experience. And somehow we've settled ourselves down living a subnormal Christian life and saying we have the Spirit, we have the Spirit, we have the Spirit. Why? Oh, I read the theology books, and the theology books say that the Spirit of God is in me, so the Spirit of God is in me. But I ask you this morning, is the living God living inside of you? And you know He is there. Not because you read it in the Word, but because you sense His awesome presence moving in your heart. This is the life of a Christian, brother. I was thinking about Wesley a little bit this morning and those 60 men in that all-night prayer meeting, you know, that they had back there in 1727 or 8, I don't know when it was, but I think they had an experience in that room. What do you think? I mean, I read the account of it. They fell on their faces in response to the awesomeness of the presence of God. They fell on their faces and shook like leaves in the presence of God. And they were all filled with the presence of the living God, and Methodism was born. I want to encourage you this morning. God is, in spite of all the confusing things that are going on in this land where we live, which, by the way, don't interpret things by what is going on in this land. But I want to encourage you that God is pouring out His Spirit upon whole churches in other places around this world. In faraway places. In places where persecution reigns. In places where martyrdom is the norm. In places where people live in poverty and do not hardly have any money. In places where people live where it's filthy and they hardly have any money. And there's no doctors around to run to. And they don't know what a drugstore is where you can go and buy something and take it to get well. God is pouring out His Spirit in places like that upon His people. And for this we should earnestly desire the same. We should earnestly desire it. My testimony is this. I refuse to settle down into the we have it mode. I refuse to settle down into that mode. And I grieve over the theological gymnastics that take place in this land of ours as people find ways to explain away their powerless lies. I'm not going to do that. Maybe I'll be unhappy the rest of my life, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be satisfied. I have read too much. Too much learning has made me mad. It has made me mad. I've read too much. I read the Acts of the Apostles, and I've seen how God worked in their hearts and their lives. I've seen the results of the coming of the Spirit of God upon them, and I can't be satisfied with some subnormal experience where I go around dreaming about the fact that I might have a little. I can't be satisfied with that. I was reading Menno Simons a bit in preparation for these teachings here. And I thought, wow, yeah, okay, so you don't like Wesley and you're not sure about Charles Finney. Well, brethren, we got a long way to go to catch up to the anointing that was upon Menno Simons. Have you checked in on that one lately? Hey, forget about those other fellas. Let's just go after that one for a while. We're so far away from the anointing that rested upon that man, that Anabaptist. And many of us say we're Anabaptists. I tell you, we're so far from what the Anabaptists were. We've just got the shell. So hey, just pursue that one. Lay all the other ones aside. Just pick that one up for a while and sigh and cry before the Lord. But I've read too much. I've read Asa Mahan and Charles Finney and Andrew Murray and William Law and even some of the old Pentecostals way back, you know, 1900. And I refuse to settle down into that mentality. This is all there is. I refuse that. I am glad for a measure of God's anointing. I think I have a measure. But I'll tell you this, I'm not happy. I am not happy. That's my testimony, and I stand up here on the basis of my hunger, not on the basis of my attainment, and share with you this morning. I want you to know that. I don't think I should be up here, but I'm up here because I'm hungry. Have you been overwhelmed with the presence of the living God? Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Now we're moving into today's subject. All of that was yesterday's. Moses was overwhelmed with the presence of God. just want to look at a couple of Old Testament examples as we keep our focus on the Word and examples in the Word. We come to the Old Testament example of Moses, reading in Exodus chapter 33. Moses had quite a discussion with God. He had been up on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights, receiving the Ten Commandments. God had written them on tables of stone. While he was away, the children of Israel made a golden calf, sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. And Moses was sent back by God down off the mount. And there was quite a discussion going on there, and Moses was pleading with God not to forsake his people. And in the middle of that, he makes a request to God, and that's where we want to read in chapter 33 and verse 18. He, Moses, said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, this is God speaking, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me alive. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part, but my face shalt not be seen. Now that's a beautiful portion of Scripture there, a conversation that Moses is having with God, and I don't know about you, but I'll take that. I'll take the hinder part. God speaking to Moses, Moses, you want to see my glory, but you don't understand what my glory is. You don't know how awesome it is. You won't be able to live if you see my glory in all of its fullness face to face. So this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to put you in a cleft of a rock and hide you there. And I'm going to come passing by in all my awesome presence and glory. And when I come by, I'm going to put my hand out there to block so you can't see my glory. And when I get past you and only the hinder parts are left, I'll move my hand away and you can get a glimpse of me as I'm passing by, Moses. Chapter 34 and verse 5-8. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now Moses received a revelation of God here. Revelation of God that he had not seen before. A revelation of the character, the majesty, the holiness, the purity, the righteousness of the character of the living God. And God proclaimed his name to Moses that day. And those weren't words that he proclaimed. He revealed his holy character to Moses. And the Lord passed by before him, before Moses, and proclaimed. What did he proclaim? Excuse me. The Lord. The Lord God, merciful Lord God, Lord God gracious, Lord God long-suffering, Lord God abundant in goodness, Lord God truth, Lord God keeping mercy for thousands, Lord God who forgives iniquity and transgression and sin, Lord God, that will by no means clear the guilty. Lord God, who visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste at this revelation and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Moses was overwhelmed with the presence of God that day, and he was never the same. He stayed up in the mount for 40 days in the presence of God. That'll change your life. Amen? You ever hear of William Duma? How many ever heard of William Duma? No, only one or two. He was a black preacher from South Africa, a Zulu, a Baptist Zulu. But he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. He went into a cave with his Bible and some water. And he came out 21 days later, a totally different man. He was a powerful man. He was an anointed man. He had a healing. He had a ministry of healing. And a lot of Baptists don't even believe in healing, but he had a ministry of healing. He was a powerful preacher. Fearless. Nothing bothered him. Well, he went back into that cave every year for 21 days. All the years of his ministry, he went back into that cave with a Bible and some water for 21 days. Well, while Moses was up there for 40 days, very interesting what happened to him in Exodus chapter 34 again in reading from verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, it came to pass that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh unto him. Moses was overwhelmed with the presence of the living God. And we're told, if we continue to read here, that Moses, from that time there in the mount alone with God, from there forward, every time he got into the presence of God, he took this veil off of his face, and the presence of God so permeated his face, his skin, that he shined. He shined a little bit like Jesus did on the Mount of Transfiguration. So much so that the children of Israel were afraid of him. And in order to relate to them, he put this veil over his face after he came from the presence of God. Moses was affected by the presence of God. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 11. In Numbers chapter 11, we have another beautiful account to consider here this morning. Numbers 11, verse 16. Moses is overwhelmed with the workload. He's burdened down with all these people and all their problems and everything that needs to be done. And he's having a hard time bearing all of it. And he comes to God and talks to God about it. And God talks to him. And he says in verse 16 and 17 of chapter 11, "And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." Now I want us to remember the Spirit that is upon Moses. We were just looking at the Spirit that was upon Moses. Now God is saying, okay, Moses, too much for you to bear? No problem. You choose out 70 men, let them come and stand with you in the tabernacle. I'm going to come down and I'm going to take the Spirit that is upon you and put it on them. Beautiful. an extension of the kingdom is going to take place. I'm going to extend the work, and I'm going to share the burden upon others. Numbers 11 and verse 24 and following. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass, that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. And there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And may I add the word, all. Upon them all. But we see from this account that when the Spirit of the Lord was placed upon those 70 men, they were overwhelmed with the presence of the living God, and they couldn't help themselves. They prophesied. That is, they were speaking forth the mind and will of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to prophesy. They were speaking forth the mind and the will of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Here they are, all around the tabernacle. God comes down, puts His Spirit upon them, and all of them start prophesying. Even the two that weren't even in the area there. Oh, we can take many lessons from this. But what I want us to see this morning is there was an effect upon those men when the Spirit of the Lord came down upon them, and there will be an effect upon us when the Spirit of the Lord comes down upon us. And would God He would send all 500 plus of us home prophesying. And like those early apostles were when they were warned, don't you speak in His name anymore. That was like foolishness to them. Those words didn't mean a thing to them. They said, hey, you decide whether it seems right or in the sight of God or not for us to be quiet. But as for us, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. That's why we can't help ourselves. Do it, Lord. Do it. You say, Brother Denny, I'm not a preacher. I don't care if you're a preacher. God wants all of His people to be anointed and speak forth the mind and will of God. God wants them all to do it. Yes, sure, some of them may be gifted to stand and minister and teach and preach and break the word to the others, but I tell you, I know it's God's will that every single man in this room have such an anointing upon them that they cannot help but speak about the things of God. I know it's God's will. I know it. So it doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter whether you have a stammering tongue or not. In fact, God likes stammering tongues. He chooses them. Would to God He would rest upon all of us and send us out of here totally different. Totally different. There are many examples in the Old Testament, and we could look at many, where the Spirit of God came upon individuals, but these are enough to show that in each case we see the influence and the effect of the presence of God and what influence it had upon these people. And that is the point I'm wanting to make here this morning. Now let us move into the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Christ, if I can give it in that order. Jesus the Christ. Israel waited for, looked for, dreamed of the coming of the Anointed. The coming of the Anointed, the Christ. We look at the response of the disciples as they beheld His life. Shortly after He was anointed by the Holy Ghost, they beheld His life. This was their response. We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ, which interpreted again is the Anointed One. We have found the Anointed One.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, press 5 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.